Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Deep questions. Like when somebody says something to you, oh, why did you think that? Why was that important to you? Oh, you liked that movie? What was it about that movie that like really stood out for you? Deep questions are really powerful. Looping for understanding, even casually, just proving to you that I'm listening. Because oftentimes we don't know if someone's listening. But if I repeat back what you just said, and particularly if I ask you if I got it right, you feel like you're listened to.
What's going on, my friend? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Real English Radio. I'm your host, Tony Kaizen. And the man you just heard is the journalist and author Charles Duhigg, appearing on the Rich Roll podcast. And I'll leave a link to this clip in the description of this episode. Now, Charles is talking about the power of deep questions and the impact they can have on our interactions with people. Now, as always, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the clip and play it again as I explain a few key words and phrases just to make sure you understand everything. So let's do it.
Deep questions. Like when somebody says something to you, it's the easiest thing to do is to ask them a deep question.
Okay, now you might already know this. It's not the most advanced word in the world, but just in case you don't know, the word deep in this context refers to a comment, or in this case, a question that is profound in nature. It's a significant question, an important question, something that will make you like stop and consider things or reflect on things. You have to think more deeply to come up with an answer to the question. It's not a surface level question like, what's your name or where do you work or something like that. It's deeper. It's a deeper question, more profound, something that requires you to think much more before you respond. So we have deep questions, deep conversations. He's a deep individual. That's a deep song. It's a deep song lyric. You see what I'm saying? It's profound. All right? All right, let's continue.
Deep questions. Like when somebody says something to you, it's the easiest thing to do is to ask them a deep question, to ask them, oh, why did you think that? Why was that important to you? Oh, you liked that movie? What was it about that movie that like really stood out for you?
What was it about that movie that really stood out for you? So Charles is giving examples of deep questions. If somebody's telling you about a movie or something, oh, why did you think that? Why was that important to you? Oh, you liked that movie? What was it about that movie that really stood out for you? So the phrasal verb to stand out. Actually, let me say it this way. Stood out is the past tense of the phrasal verb to stand out, which means to be noticeable or remarkable or special in some way. It's memorable, right? It calls your attention. So imagine five movies, or let's use people. It's more realistic. Let's use five people standing in a line. A horizontal line. They're shoulder to shoulder, as we say. If one person takes 3 steps forward, they are no longer aligned with the other 4 people. That person is standing out. They've broken the pattern, and therefore they're calling your attention. The other 4 are in unison. And this one over here stands out. It's different for some reason. It calls your attention. You're going to remember that one because it's different. So when he says, what was it about that movie that really stood out for you? What he's asking is, what was it about that movie that was special? Why do you remember it so clearly? Or why do you remember this movie specifically? Why is this one your favorite? What makes this movie different from the other movies, in your opinion? That's what he's asking with that question. All right, let's continue.
Why did you think that? Why was that important to you? Oh, you liked that movie? What was it about that movie that like really stood out for you? Deep questions are really powerful. Looping for understanding, even casually, just proving to you that I'm listening, because oftentimes we don't know if someone's listening.
All right, deep questions are really powerful. They have a very strong impact on our interactions. Then he says, looping for understanding. Now, when you hear the word loop, you can think of something similar to a circle. Very similar. Think of something going in a circular motion. That's probably a better way to explain it without images. So when he says looping for understanding, really what he means, the way I would illustrate this or ask you to imagine it is imagine that you're going along a path, and that path is the flow of the conversation. If you loop for understanding, or if you loop back for understanding, it means that you kind of, how would I explain that? Let me explain the practical meaning, because when he says looping for understanding or looping back, he really means revisiting a particular topic to make sure you truly understand what somebody's saying. Let me read that sentence again. Deep questions are really powerful. Revisiting topics or asking the same question multiple times or asking the same question in different ways, even casually, just to prove that I'm listening to you. Does that make sense to you? It's hard to explain loop in this case without having an image to show you. So if you have your phone near you, just type in the word loop on Google, and you'll get a better idea of what he means figuratively when he says looping for understanding. He just means going back to something that was already discussed, revisiting a topic just to make sure you understood what was said. All right. And then he says, just proving to you that I'm listening, because oftentimes we don't know if someone's listening. So we loop for understanding, we revisit topics, we ask more questions than necessary sometimes. We really try to make sure we understand, and that is how we prove or show or demonstrate that we are in fact listening, because oftentimes or frequently or many times we don't know if someone's listening. So let me play that again.
Deep questions are really powerful. Looping for understanding, even casually, just proving to you that I'm listening, because oftentimes we don't know if someone's listening. But if I repeat back what you just said, and particularly if I ask you if I got it right, you feel like you're listened to.
All right. So oftentimes we don't know if someone's really listening, but if I repeat back what you just said, then blah, blah, blah. So when he says repeat back, this phrasal verb means, well, you know what repeat means. If I say ABC and then you say ABC, you have just repeated what I said, right? But to repeat back is basically telling someone exactly what you just heard them express. So if I say, man, I'm really getting tired of working this job. My boss is an asshole. I'm tired of sitting in traffic, this, this, and that. You repeat that idea back to me by saying something like, man, it sounds like you're really stressed. You know, the traffic's having a really bad effect on you. Your boss sounds like a real jerk. Maybe you need to switch jobs. Like, I'm just affirming the fact that I heard and understood what you said by repeating what you said, whether it's word for word, meaning exactly what you said, or just the idea of what you said. That's what he means by repeating back to somebody. They say something to you and you repeat it back to them. You restate what they've said. I really hope that makes sense. You probably understand with the context, right? So if I repeat back what you just said, and particularly if I ask you if I got it right, you feel like you're listened to. So to get something right, he says, particularly if I ask you if I got it right. To get something right just means to successfully understand or interpret something, as opposed to misunderstanding something. So if I say, ma'am, I'm so tired of this fucking job. If I repeat back to you, it's like, oh, so you want to get a new job. You want to quit this one, yeah? And you say, yes, exactly. That means I got it right. That's not the best example dialogue. But if you say, yes, exactly, that means I got it right, which means I understood correctly. I didn't get it wrong. I got it right. Now, this clip is very short. So instead of just playing the last sentence again, I'm just going to play the whole clip again uninterrupted so you can hear it from start to finish and hopefully understand everything much better. Here we go.
Deep questions. Like when somebody says something to you, it's the easiest thing to do is to ask them a deep question, to ask them, oh, why did you think that? Why was that important to you? Oh, you liked that movie? What was it about that movie that like really stood out for you? Deep questions are really powerful. Looping for understanding, even casually, just proving to you that I'm listening. Because oftentimes we don't know if someone's listening. But if I repeat back what you just said, and particularly if I ask you if I got it right, you feel like you're listened to.
Now, if you struggle to keep a conversation going, or every conversation you have remains surface level, no matter how long you talk to the person or how long you've known them, then I'd like you to consider whether you're listening with the intention of understanding or simply waiting for your turn to speak. Now, I must say, I know that every conversation is different. The style and flow of a conversation depend on many things, like whether you're introverted or extroverted, how well you know the person, the energy of your environment, the topic being discussed, and the purpose of the conversation. So the statement I'm about to make is a very generalized one. But many of us tend to engage in a conversation with much more interest in what we have to say than what the person we're talking to has to say. We also have the habit of taking things that people say at face value. And to take something at face value means to accept it or believe it without questioning its validity or looking for a deeper meaning. Basically, accepting what's being presented to you or said to you without digging further for hidden intentions or underlying truths, without trying to really understand what the person means to say. And there are times when this is totally normal and the most practical thing to do, right? For example, if your girlfriend tells you that she went to a restaurant today and ordered a cheeseburger with no pickles. But when the order arrived, the burger had pickles on it. You don't necessarily need to dig deeper into that story and ask her, well, why don't you like pickles? Is your disdain for pickles linked to some childhood memory I should know about? I want to understand your relationship with pickles. Your girlfriend would probably be a little weirded out by that. She'd be like, I don't like pickles, babe. What's the big deal? Why are you asking? However, if someone is telling you about one of their interests or something that's important to them, then there are a few things that I suggest you remember. And the first one is that many of us are very poor at expressing ourselves. We often use very vague language to express our thoughts, opinions, and ideas because we don't really know what we think. We just know how we feel. Expressing oneself articulately or clearly and concisely is a skill that requires lots of practice. We have to spend time reading to expand our vocabulary, reflecting and writing to process our experiences and formulate our thoughts, as well as listening to and speaking with other articulate people. Many of us simply have, or at least think we have, too many things to do during the day. We gotta work, study, spend time with loved ones, raise children, watch Netflix, scroll on our phones, play computer games. The list goes on and on. So what I'm saying is many of us are poor communicators because we don't invest enough time into learning the skill of communication. So when it comes time to express our thoughts, we typically use the limited range of words and phrases that we use every day. But there are many times when we need to use much more specific vocabulary to express what we're really thinking or feeling. So if you find yourself in a conversation with someone who's being vague and speaking in very general terms, I suggest that you help them express themselves. Tease the information out of them like a therapist does with her patients. Don't take everything at face value. Now, as you probably heard me say many times before, simple questions like, what do you mean by that? Why do you hold that opinion? How did you arrive at that conclusion? How does that make you feel? Or even just repeating what they've said in different words. These things will encourage this person to think a bit deeper and put more effort into expressing whatever they're really trying to say. And you will not believe how much more you can learn about someone by doing something as simple as this. And the best part is you don't really need to have anything interesting to say. You just need to be listening properly with the intention of understanding not only what is being said, but why it's being said. And this is something that most people will love you for.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, the second thing I want you to consider is that conversations are not a competition. I've heard and been involved in many conversations that felt more like talking matches than actual conversations. All of us were trying to show how much we knew or that we had the most interesting things to say, and no one was actually listening. We were just trying to dominate the interaction, you know what I'm saying? And maybe you've been in a similar situation, right? For example, you might say, oh, I think Scarface is the greatest film ever made. And immediately your friend responds by saying, nah, man, there's no better movie than Shutter Island. You're crazy. It's a very common thing in casual conversations. When people are sharing interests, thoughts, and opinions, I think A, B, and C. Nah, 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 it's X, Y, and Z. Immediately, that's how they respond. And the problem with this is, again, I'm generalizing. Not every conversation is the same, and some people communicate like this, and it's no problem. But what I'm saying is sometimes when you communicate in that way, when you basically just disregard what the person just said and then introduce your thoughts or your opinions or your feelings, your perspective, you're basically communicating that whatever they just said is not important, or at least not as important as what you have to say, not as interesting. It's like, yeah, I get that, but it's my turn to talk. Shut the fuck up and listen to what I got to say. I like red. Oh, well, I like blue. You like blue? Yeah, blue. You know what I'm saying? When you could simply just wait your turn. You could just wait your turn. Everybody can have a chance to speak and share their thoughts and opinions, but why not dig a bit deeper? Ask two or three deeper questions to really understand not just what they're saying, but why they are saying it. So let's switch because I said you said you love Scarface. Let me switch it. Let's imagine your friend says, I think Scarface is the greatest film ever made. Instead of saying, oh, I like this movie, or I like that one, or no, instead of doing that, you could simply ask, why do you think it's the greatest? You think Scarface is the best film ever made. Why is that? And then your friend is going to stop and think, and then give you a response. And you could even go a bit deeper, and then you'll get a more detailed response, right? They're going to elaborate on what they said, and then you really understand why they think Scarface is the greatest film ever made. And the interesting thing about that is when you're listening to them elaborate on their idea or their opinion or their perspective, you might hear things that you never considered before. Aspects of a movie that you had never even considered or noticed. Because like I said in a recent episode, everybody knows something you don't. Everybody thinks in their own way, generally speaking. Two people can watch the same movie and process two completely different stories. Right? So by listening to them elaborate on their perspective, it can actually help you formulate your perspective or your perspective might become more clear. And once you finally have a true understanding of their perspective and why they're saying the things that they say, then you can say, hey, you know which movie I think is the greatest of all time? And if you're talking to a good communicator, somebody who's actually listening and going to reciprocate the effort, they're going to say, oh, which one? And now they'll be happy to hear what you have to say because you heard what they had to say. And both of y'all get a turn to speak and to listen. And hopefully both of y'all leave the interaction understanding each other better, as opposed to just talking at each other, which is, to me, just a waste of fucking time. So what I'm saying, in summary, is that a conversation is not a competition, you know? You don't have to prove how much you know or that you're smarter or more interesting or your interests are better, your opinions are more valid. That is not the point of a conversation. In my opinion, that is not the point of a conversation. So even if you have tons of shit to say, just wait your fucking turn, bro. You expect them to sit there and listen to you attentively as you go on about your bullshit. So why not sit there and listen to them with the same energy and attention? That's only fair, if you ask me. Otherwise, this is not a conversation, it's a speech. If you're the only one talking and making points, it's a speech. Not a conversation. If that's what you want to do, go start a podcast, bro. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm introverted. Maybe it's because it's just my perspective on communication and how it should be done. Everybody's going to have a different opinion on this one. I understand that. I'm just suggesting that you consider the idea that not everybody communicates in the same way you communicate. And by treating a conversation like a competition, you might discourage a lot of people from wanting to share things with you. If every time they tell you about something they're interested in or their opinion on something, an experience that they had, and you immediately respond with something about you, as opposed to digging deeper into whatever they said, you might be communicating to them that you don't give a fuck about what they're saying and that you're always going to find a way to make the conversation about you. And if that's the case, why the fuck would they want to talk to you? That's what I'm suggesting you consider. So, the third thing I'd like you to consider is what it really means to listen. Because a lot of people think that true listening means nodding your head up and down, smiling, right? Like not breaking eye contact and saying, every 5 seconds. A lot of people think that's what it means to show somebody they're listening. And I'm not saying that, what am I saying? If that's what you think listening is, then more power to you. However, in my humble opinion, that is not what it means to listen. That's what it means to show somebody you're listening. That's really what I'm trying to communicate here. There's a difference between listening and making an effort to show somebody you're listening. Does that make sense to you? Because the nodding your head and saying, while the other person is talking, you're not listening. You're focused on showing the person you're listening. That's not listening, right? Listening doesn't really involve nodding your head and saying, or smiling and all that type of shit. It just means paying attention. To what the person is saying, and not just what they're saying, but how they're saying it. To me, there's a difference. I don't know if I'm communicating the difference very well, but to me, those are two completely different things. I could be sitting completely still, just looking at you, not nodding my head or making any noise, and I'm still listening. And you're going to know that by the way I respond to what you said. You're going to know that by the questions I ask and the comments I make. You can tell when somebody's really listening, bro. Because of everything I just said, the way they respond to you communicates whether or not they're truly listening and or understanding. It has nothing to do with, I don't know about y'all, man, but that shit is annoying. Like when I'm talking to somebody and every 5 seconds they have to go, It's like after a while, I can't even hear myself talk. All I can hear is, It's like, you don't need to do that, bro. You don't need to do that to show you're listening. That is the opposite of listening. Just shut up. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. Every time you go, you hear that too. There's no way you're hearing what they're saying and you're at the same time. So just shut up. Just shut up. You know? And when you shut the fuck up and truly, when you're really listening, bro, when you're really paying attention, you notice a lot more. Because you might go over to your friend's house, he's sitting on the couch, looking down at his feet, and you say, "What's up, bro? You good?" Say, "Yeah, man, I'm straight." Then you sit on the couch, turn on the TV, and then just go on about your afternoon. Start talking about some random shit. But if you're paying attention, you're really paying attention and listening and looking at your friend when you ask that question, you might see that he's looking down at his feet for some reason, and he's fidgeting. He's twisting and turning his ring on his finger. He's tapping his feet. He's having a hard time sitting still. He seems distracted, like his mind is somewhere else. If you're really paying attention, you might ask him, "Are you sure? You sure you're good? You seem distracted, bro. Why are you fidgeting like that? It seems like something's off. You know, was something going on I should know about? You got a problem or something? Like, what's up, bro?" And at that point, your friend knows that you're paying attention. You want to know and understand what's happening. It doesn't mean that he's going to divulge everything to you. It doesn't mean he's going to tell you what's really going on. But if you're not paying attention and you don't ask that question, there's almost a 0% chance you're ever going to find out what's going on. Because a lot of people, especially men, we're not just going to offer up our problems and drama every time we hang out with friends. We don't do that shit, you know? We don't want to be a burden to people, right? So if you're not interested, we just assume that people aren't interested. Nobody gives a fuck about men's problems, so we don't talk about them. But if you can be the one that's actually paying attention, picking up on shit like that, you know? I just think it's better. I think that it cultivates a stronger connection with the people in your life. If you actually pay attention and you listen for real, it makes all the difference in every interaction, bro. It really does. So I want you to spend the next week seeing how long you can keep someone talking in every conversation, when and where it makes practical sense to do so, obviously. But listen carefully for those vague statements that could be interpreted in many ways and ask them to elaborate on what they've said. And when someone shares a thought, feeling, or opinion with you, resist the urge to respond with your opinions or judgment, and instead work with them to get to a deeper understanding of what they mean. And once you've done that, you can share as much of your perspective as you'd like. If you want to become a better communicator, then you've got to practice. And if you apply these three simple tactics to every conversation you have, I guarantee you'll start having better conversations and be more of a pleasure to speak with.